Hey there, here's a great way to listen to Alt Latino while you're on your commute, or while you're making dinner, or while you're getting the kids ready, or while you're driving around on your bike. It's on NPR One, an app for your phone, and it's kind of like Pandora for public radio. It's full of news and podcasts, including Alt Latino. So whenever you're ready to listen, NPR One has something great just for you. You can find it in your app store, NPR One. From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras. You know, recently we've been taking a deeper listen to Cuban music. Now, with the historical political changes in the air, what we're doing is we're taking some time to examine things like the musical cross-influence between the U.S. and Cuba. But this week, we're talking about Cuban pianists. And our guest is a pianist herself. She's also director of education at SF Jazz in San Francisco, Rebecca Malion. Welcome to Alt Latino.
Thank you so much, Felix, and hello, everybody.
So we have lots to talk about. We're listening to some fabulous music right now. What are we listening to?
This is a beautiful habanera called Tú. It was written by Eduardo Sánchez de Fuentes, and it is transformed through the magical hands of the beautiful and late Mr. Dionisio Ramón Emilio Valdés Amaro, better known as Bebo Valdés. One of the most beautiful renditions of that piece. I mean, the piece is a standard, an habanera written in 1910. And actually, the composer wrote it, Sánchez de Fuentes wrote it when he was 16 years old. But Bebo, every time I hear that piece, I shed tears, because the way he's able to draw the emotional aspect out of it, and also just his phrasing, his nuance. And it is really an exquisite rendition of that piece.
He was well already into his 90s, but he played like a much younger man.
He did. He had this incredible technique, certainly. I mean, the very prolific classical training, and had, of course, developed as a jazz musician in Cuba, and such an incredible trajectory, directing the Tropicana Orchestra and, of course, leading the sessions with Nat King Cole. And, you know, any of the jazz greats who would come to town, he was the musical director, whether it was the Dorsey Brothers or Sarah Vaughan or whatnot, you know, in those days, back in the day, and also a profound knowledge of the Cuban canon. When we talk about Bebo, carries that tradition of the sort of the triple threat, right? You have the classical, you have the Cuban, and you have you know, the popular music and jazz. So all of those three things together, that sort of triumvirate, was clearly something that he mastered. And well into his 80s and 90s, you know, right before his death, he was still playing at an optimal level. And, you know, to see somebody of that age still, you know, completely on their mark is pretty stunning.
One of the things we want to do here on Alt Latino is just kind of give people a better idea of just Cuban music in general. And I think that most people would think of drums and percussion and everything else that goes along with Cuban music. The first thing I think of are pianists, believe it or not. And I'm a percussionist.
Right. Well, there is a legacy of great pianists who were composers, performers, and who embody the sort of cross-pollination of, you know, Afro-Cuban music, the acknowledgement of the Afro-Cuban tradition, which, you know, some pianists and composers didn't do. Early on, in terms of the 19th century repertoire, a lot of those pianists and composers were sort of in denial of the great contributions of African music to Cuba, which, of course, is ludicrous, right? And with that comes, of course, a profound knowledge and understanding of the drum and the percussion instruments. But to be able to convey those rhythmical elements on the piano is an art. And a lot of this repertoire that was composed back in the, you know, late 19th century and early 20th century is really a testament to that. You know, the piano is a percussion instrument. And when you have the combination of this great legacy and all this history with the fact that these pianists are great interpreters and can have amazing command and independence, you can do, you know, incredible things on the piano to convey a lot of that polyrhythm.
And one of the pianists that you brought in your playlist is a wonderful example of that. Well, they all are, but this one in particular, Ernesto Lecuona, what are we going to hear from him?
So this is one of his great pieces called La Comparsa. It was composed in 1930. It was part of a suite of dances that he wrote called Danzas Afro-Cubanas, again acknowledging the Afro-Cuban elements of Cuban popular music. And this particular piece is supposed to sort of convey the approach and the withdrawal of a carnival procession. And so you get a little bit of that element in the piano, the beginning, the sort of a wonderful ostinato, a repeated figure that builds and builds, and then eventually you transform from a kind of a minor mode to a major mode. It gets very, very exciting in the middle, and then it sort of wanes. And I think hearing him play it himself is a very important thing for everybody. You need to listen to Ernesto himself play his own piece. This is La Comparsa.
That was Ernesto Lecuona with his composition, La Comparsa. Okay, Rebecca, I've known you probably since the late 1970s, and by the time I met you, and you were very young then.
I was only two.
You were already really steeped into the Cuban piano tradition. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you fell into playing the piano in that style, or being attracted to that style of music. Is your family from Cuba? Is there a Cuban connection there?
The interesting thing about my family connection is that there was one musician on my father's side. My father was from Spain, from a very small little town that no one ever heard of in the north, near Pamplona, called Arroniz. And one of my great uncles was a Cuban music aficionado, and he collected a lot of sheet music. And also my great-grandfather went to Cuba and the Philippines, of course, fighting for Spain in the Spanish-American War. So my take was there was something about the music that called to me. And I heard recordings of Cuban music on the radio, certainly, and heard a lot of bands in the Bay Area playing traditional Cuban music and salsa. And I somehow fell into a group of people who are collectors of recordings. And one musician in particular, particular, Francisco Tovar, who had an amazing, extensive record collection of traditional Cuban music, probably nothing more contemporary than the 1950s. So we had this group of folks who would get around, you know, hang out and listen to recordings. And I had already had classical training as a young person, but coming to the piano as a teenager, it was the Cuban music that called me. And it was people like Peruchin, who we're going to listen to, I believe, next, who drew my attention because he was so percussive. He was so rhythmical and so melodic and so, you know, equally steeped in both the Cuban and jazz traditions that I was just immediately taken with that style, how powerful it was, how exciting, simple, and yet complicated. And so that began my love affair, and it's never waned.
And what song are we going to hear from Peruchin?
So this is La Mulata Rumbera. Originally, it was a rumba that was composed by Alejandro Rodriguez. It's been covered by a lot of different artists. But I think Peruchin's version with his just rhythm section is the seminal version of this piece. I instantly memorized every single riff and solo, and then I was so fortunate to get to produce a version of this with Orestes Vilató for his recording. And this was something that I really enjoy playing a lot. This is a wonderful piece of music.
Let's move on to the other Valdés name in the Cuban piano canon.
So Dionisio Jesús Valdés Rodríguez, better known as Chucho Valdés, is a living legend. First of all, you know, we talked about how gracious and kind and giving Bebo was. Well, Chucho is cut of that same cloth. Incredibly well-versed, again, in the triumvirate of classical Cuban popular music and jazz. And, of course, part of a generation that experienced a dramatic change in his home country of Cuba and was able to continue, you know, his legacy and push the music forward. Chucho, of course, known for his work with the Modern Music Orchestra and eventually for founding the group Iraquere, the seminal group in 1973, that I think forever changed the landscape of post-revolutionary Cuban music. And this particular piece he composed in the early 60s, Mambo Influenciado, is a jazz standard. It is a Latin jazz standard, and it is a Cuban standard. And this is now standard repertoire in jazz music. So I think it's an incredible testament to his many, many contributions. And this is one of my favorite renditions of the piece because it is just a solo piano version of it. So this is Chucho's version of Mambo Influenciado.
Okay, before we get back to this show and the great Cuban music, let's take a second to remind you that here in the U.S., Sunday, October 9, is the second presidential debate. And the next morning, the NPR Politics podcast is inviting you to skip the cable news hangover and get caught up with what happened. That's the NPR Politics podcast. You can subscribe or listen on the NPR One app. Now, back to the music. Okay, Rebecca, we've already moved into the contemporary, and I guess Chucho is one of these musicians who, you know, because he spans back to the 1960s and is still very active today. Now let's talk about a couple of younger musicians. You brought in a track by Gonzalo Rubalcaba.
Gonzalo was, of course, born after the revolution, born in 1963. And his ability to transform the sound of the instrument is something that I can't convey enough. When you hear him play the piano, he does things to the instrument that I have never heard done before. He draws from many different influences. I mean, certainly you hear, you know, the paradigm of Chick Corea and Herbie Hancock and Keith Jarrett, but he's also got that element of Tchaikovsky and, you know, his ability to transform the rhythm as well as the harmony and melody are uncanny. So this particular piece, Mi Gran Pasión, which is the title track of that 1987 recording, it starts off, like most danzones do, very traditional with the flute, and he plays responses to the flute melody that are mind-boggling, first of all, harmonically very explosive and you know, rhythmically very explosive. Thank you. And then within the context of the song, he quotes a Jerome Kern standard. He quotes "Smoke Gets in Your Eyes." This is something that goes back to the 1940s and 50s in Cuba with danzones, where the musicians would often quote standard, you know, like American Great American Song repertoire in the middle of the piece. So you get a little bit of that. You have the pyrotechnics of his, you know, uncanny technique, and you have a beautiful rhythm section backing him up.
Another name that you brought in, a younger musician, Harold Lopez Nussa.
So first of all, anybody born after the 70s and 80s has been profoundly influenced and shaped by Chucho and Gonzalo. And Harold is the nephew of the great Hernan Lopez Nussa, a contemporary of mine, my age demographic, born in the 60s. And so this piece we're going to hear is Pa' Gozar. It was originally composed by Tata Huines, who was a percussionist who played with, among others, Peruchin. So Harold here takes the original song and then creates a new melody on top of it. And then within the solo, he references all these other great pieces of music. So Harold is also someone to look out for.
Thank you. That was Harold Lopez Nusa with the track Pagosar. And we want to remind our listeners that you can hear these songs and Rebecca's entire playlist that she put together. We just pulled some from her entire playlist on our website at npr.org/altlatino. If you're interested at all in anything that you've heard today, that's the place to go. So be sure to check that out. We're going to end the show with a very young pianist who just came onto the scene and who I had the honor of meeting while I was hosting the Jazz Piano Christmas a few years ago, Alfredo Rodriguez.
So Alfredo was born in 1985, and he certainly did burst on the scene. Thanks to the good graces of Quincy Jones, Alfredo was able to make his mark on a much more global stage. This particular recording we're going to hear is from The Invasion Parade. This is a 2014 release. And it is his rendition of Guantanamera. Now, of course, many people know the song Guantanamera, whether it was Pete Seeger's version or Celia Cruz or even Wyclef Jean. Yeah. People have heard Guantanamera in various, you know, iterations and configurations. But I doubt anyone has ever played it in 13.5 meter.
Oh, my gosh.
So when you listen to Alfredo play, first of all, he is a compelling presence on stage. Whether he's with an ensemble or, you know, trio or solo piano, there's something about him that, you know, again, like all these other piano titans we've spoken of, brings something out of the piano that is so distinct and stunningly unique. One of the things that he's able to do is convey within the song a whole stream, a whole slew of other Cuban standards. He references El Manicero. He references several danzones. And then, of course, he commences to transform the melody in a very harmonically dense way with this odd meter underpinning. So, again, to say odd meter is not quite enough, because most people don't play in 13, and certainly no one I know has ever played in 13.5. That's what he's doing.
It makes my makes my head hurt even think about it.
So what a great way to wrap up this mini festival, if you will, of Cuban titans. This is Alfredo Rodriguez, Guantanamera.
Rebecca Malion, thank you so much for stopping by. I know you've got a very busy schedule out there in California.
I do, Felix, but it was really my pleasure. I mean, you know, I could talk about this all day long,
yes.
But always great to be able to share my passion and our passion with the world, this amazing music that's coming off this island and wherever Cubans have traveled, because many of them continue to journey outward and onward.
Rebecca Malion is the Director of Education at SF Jazz there in San Francisco. She's a pianist, composer, performer, educator, and a very dear and old friend of mine. So again, thank you for coming.
Thank you.